This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I am extremely excited and expectant for what the Holy Spirit wants to do and still work in each and every one of us. So, while I was busy preparing, I felt, Lord, this is quite a wide net that we are throwing this morning. Now, for those of you that's not new here, you might feel you say that often. So maybe it's just interesting how God leads us sometimes detail by detail, step by step, and then sometimes He just casts this net and He just says, I want you as my people to know what to expect. God is above all, and He can see everything, and He knows what to prepare us for. So what I just felt while I was preparing this, for some of you, that this might be something that defines and explains something that you are currently going through. Parts of this is going to help you to see things as it happens. So if you maybe this morning feel, I can relate to that, but not so much to that, just write it down somewhere, because it might be coming. So we are going to touch on quite a few things this morning, and I want you to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit say. Often when I pray about services like this, and especially words like these, then I'm thinking, we should actually be in a place where we say, okay, if you heard from God what you need to respond on, you are welcome to start praying now and just respond, you know, as God lays it on your heart. Otherwise, sometimes you end up listening through the whole sermon and then you get to the end and you're like, yo, what was that thing again? Or we must all maybe pin a whiteboard to the person in front of you and then just make notes, you know, as we speak, and then afterwards you can just pray from your notes. But I want you to be attentive this morning with me, because God wants to bring definition. It's what I expect. I expect of God to bring clarity, but I also expect of God to set some people free of something very specific this morning. So I'm going to pray for us, and then let's jump in. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you position us, your people, your family, your bride. Lord, thank you that we can wholeheartedly just submit to you and just say, Lord, whatever you want to share this morning, you share, Lord. We want to hear from you. And as you speak, Lord, we will be making notes. We will be reminding ourselves to specific things. We will allow you through your Spirit to come work in us. And we honor you for this time that we can have together in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to run through a few steps, and then, like I said, let's see what the Holy Spirit highlights in your heart. So in this process of sanctification that we've been speaking on now for quite a while, sanctification, holiness, purity, keeping in step with His Spirit, keeping in step with what He's busy with, some things we see, some things we don't, some things we pick up in our hearts, some things we battle to identify and we battle to see, but all of that refers to something very specific, and that is that God is busy building His church. A word that we've been speaking on from when we moved here. The first word that we shared, and we're going to also tap into that a bit now, but the first word that we shared when we got here, 2nd of October 2022, was being living stones, being built up into one spiritual house. We're going to start off with that today, understanding how to walk with Him. For the times that we are in, we have to understand that we are His temple. We are His building. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16, we read, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone," now listen to this, verse 17, "if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him." Oh, you are very silent today. Last year when we spoke about money, everyone was, yo, yo. And now this time you are very quiet. It's okay. It's okay. I understand you. You are processing it. Just blink every now and then. Just don't let your eyes dry out. And So, if anyone destroy God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Yeah. Thank you, Johannes. Okay. So at Encounter 2, we had this thing where Craig was so on fire there. He was responding the whole time, and I made him class captain, and then from there everyone wanted to beat Craig. So I don't know if you like competition like that, just keep it holy, please. What's there you have competition coming. Okay, so what's interesting to me about this temple, because I don't know how many of you, I don't know if there's an English version of this song, like, don't you know you're a temple? Did you guys ever hear that? So there's an Afrikaans song saying, I'm gonna just say it, so don't be afraid if you don't understand, it's Afrikaans. I'm not speaking in tongues. I will interpret. So it says, weet jy nie, jy is a temple. Goes like that. Ah, lights. Okay, so now, since I've been this small, we sang that song at Kids Church, weet jy nie, weet jy nie. It means, don't you know, you're a temple. That's what it means. Okay. Then I was always singing that song, and it's interesting, I got a bit of an interesting shock reminder. When I went through the scripture, I saw this you that's mentioned here is plural. This you that's mentioned here is not singular. It's not only speaking to individuals. This is speaking to a group, a collective. This is plural. I want you to look at this verse again and see. God says, do you not know that you are God's temple? You, my people. You, my church. You, my bride. Do you not know that you are my temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. He's protecting his bride. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Now, it's interesting. Two things are important here. The one is, he's not only speaking to a collective, but let's for a moment just touch on that first. He's speaking to a collective saying, you are my temple, and my Spirit dwells in you. Listen to this. If anyone destroy God's temple, God will destroy him. When he speaks about this, he's not only speaking about Satan, he's speaking about anyone and everyone that wants to destroy his people. He's also speaking to me. Now, this links with so many scriptures when you think about this, because the moment you actually understand that God is protecting his people, then it means that he would sometimes protect his people from you. And we need to be awake and we need to be attentive, because if we are people that's bringing division, now we've read that in Scripture. Be careful about that. Don't bring division. Be careful. Forgive. Repent. Be quick. Be eager to maintain the unity of the bond of peace. But I've not read it in this context yet. But here we have to understand that every single one of us are being seen as that bride and that body. And every single one of us are being seen as someone that can potentially threaten. And we need to be awake. And we need to be attentive, because if we now read, God will destroy him, he's talking about me. We cannot, in one instance, deem ourselves the people that's been seen as the bride, but then in other instances say, I can just do whatever I want to. I can just act the way that I want to, and nothing will happen, not according to Scripture. We need to be awake. 1 Peter 5 says that we are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. The scriptures links to Hebrews 12, verse 14. It says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now, if you think of all the disqualifying factors, we'd often assign certain sins to saying we cannot come close to God or we cannot be seen with him or whatever. But here we see in Hebrews 12, verse 14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see God. We will not see him. We have to be eager to protect and to love. And it's interesting. I didn't know where this comes from, but I was so happy when I read this in Scripture, because there was a time when, I won't mention names now for the sake of confidentiality, but it is one of our children. We have four, so don't laugh as if you know who it was. So I told one, if you do that again with that one, I will have to protect that one from you. I want you to understand that you are both my children, and I love you. But if you act in that way again, I will protect that one from you as if you are someone else. Because what you are doing now is not fitting. It's not the way that we behave as family. Now, when I said that, like I often did, Johannes and myself was having a bathroom discussion this morning. And as I said, as we spoke about this, and I told him, it's interesting when sometimes I speak to the children, I can hear God's voice saying, what do you think about that? So I can tell it to them, how they should behave, what they should be doing. But then I feel this mirror coming up saying, and you? And this morning, I would be disobedient to Scripture if I don't say to us, and us, where are we? Are we with God busy gathering, or are we with Satan scattering? Scary. Okay. So for us to walk with Him, we have to understand that we are God's temple. His Spirit is in us, and He's protecting this bride. Sometimes against us, but for the majority of the time, I sense that we are walking together. We are earnestly seeking Him together. The second thing I want to touch on this morning, so that we can be able to walk with Him. We spoke about the temple now, the bride, also as us as individuals. I felt the invitation from the Lord saying, submit every room to me. Submit every room to me. We read in Matthew 12, verse 43-44. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but it finds none. Then it says, I will return. Look at the words. I will return to my house. I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. I felt the Holy Spirit say that if we want to walk with Him, we have to understand that we are His bride, we are His people, His Spirit is among us. But we need to yield every room of our hearts so that we have no vacancies. A time, yes, that was so beautiful. A time that we are walking with God is a time of being set free from things. You know, you'd often just stand at a coffee with someone and they just mention something and you'd feel, that literally just changed, at least today. That changed everything that I was thinking of and contemplating for this day. And it sets us free. But what happens? We get set free, and then we almost turn back to our normal, regular lives, and we do not submit and yield that room to Him. And I sense in my heart this morning, in a very dynamic and vibrant time that we are in, we need to be sure that we are yielded and submitted to Him in every aspect. There's no such thing as this part of me can be sanctified, but this part of me is just the way I'm made. I just have a temper. Okay, so I can be made new and be sanctified in all other sins and things, and I can maybe leave this and that. But just, guys, receive me for who I am. I am someone that's short of temper. Please just, no. Where do we find that? And listen to when we speak. First, listen to yourself, please. Don't go out here, listen to other people. But please listen to when you speak. But also listen to how people speak. How normalized we've made certain things. I just have, what's the word now? Road rage. Nah? I'm a very good Christian, but just don't drive in front of me. If the light is red, please act like a Christian that knows your place and your values. And if it's green, you know, just go. It should be the most simple thing. But it was meant to bring out something in you. Do you know that? It was meant to bring out something in you, and it's bringing it out. But what are we doing? We are receiving that thing. We're like, yes, Lord, I have road rage, and I'm happy. I'm partnering with this rage. I'm keeping it. Why? What are we saying when we say, it's just the way I am? What else are we saying? We are receiving it, and we are making it part of our lives. We had a pastor in one of our previous congregations. He said, a truth is something that you hear, you grab hold of it, and you hold on to it until it becomes one with you. Be careful with me. Be careful with me what you grab hold of, what you let become one with you. Be very awake. When our houses are cleaned, and it's happened frequently, we're seeing it in counseling, I know in my heart, and I mean, I know if I threw out the invitation this morning, you'd be able to come out and say, this is what I felt God set me free from this morning in worship. I know God set people free, and I'm asking you, by God's word, submit to Him every room so that you are not vacant. Don't be vacant. Brings us to our third part of walking with Him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit often. You know, there's a big problem when we think that we raise our hands one moment when someone says, would you like to follow Jesus? Would you like to give your life? Would you like to receive Him into your life? And then we're like, yes, Lord, everything is great. I had a perfect morning. I had my coffee. I had my rusk. This just feels like the next logical step. And we submit to Him. And then we feel now it's done. Maybe you grew up in a charismatic church. I didn't. So then you had these things where you were now filled with the Holy Spirit and you got baptized and there was things, you know, all of these very zealous people pulling you into all types of missions and things. I didn't have that. So I had to learn that after school. But the scripture in Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. That filled by the Holy Spirit literally means be maintained continually full. Be maintained continually full. Now, it's interesting, you know, I don't know, I've actually, every time you get a reminder like this, then your quiet time changes a bit. So when you know, end up praying, I felt, Lord, what does this look like for me spending time with You? To ask, Lord, I yield every room of my heart. Please reveal to me if there's a room in my heart that I'm holding back. Then when I've yielded and I've submitted these rooms of my heart to You, please fill me with Your Spirit. Please make every room that You heal me through, every part, every aspect of my life that You restore and heal, please fill me with Your Holy Spirit. It's interesting when we read that scripture, we understand we should not get drunk with wine, but we do not understand that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we tend to read things negatively. You know, or in a negative mindset, you read what you shouldn't be doing. But in the same aspect, he says, but do this. Don't do that, but do this. Be continually maintained, filled. Be maintained continually full. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with His Holy Spirit. The fourth thing I want us to look at is live by the Word of God. Live by the Word of God. What is the alternative? Our feelings. Wow. Hey. Our feelings. Our emotions. Now, this is scary. Do you understand that we actually from time to time submit our whole lives waiting for a feeling to tell us whether we are in a good or a bad space? Waiting for our emotions to tell us whether God loves us or doesn't love us. Waiting for our emotions to tell us whether God is providing or not providing. Waiting for our emotions to tell us whether I will ever be married or whether I will be single until I die. Waiting for our mirror to one morning just tell us something different because when I look at it, I don't like what I see. I don't appreciate what I see. I can't see God's glory and God's reign in what I see when I look at Scripture. Now, I've just mentioned a few, but I'm sure that when we really sit down and we say how much of our lives we actually submit to our emotions, waiting for some influence to actually tell us who we are and who God is. Scripture says, if you live, you can't live that and live through the Word at the same time. The Bible and Christianity wasn't meant to be good morals and good life skills. I recently read an article actually where the guy said he didn't come to salvation yet, but he likes the values and the principles through which Christian people live. So he reads the Bible every day so he can understand those values, but he's not submitted to Jesus because he can find great values of life in that. It's obviously not us. Other people do that, not us. Let's live by the Word. Listen to this. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning, listen, the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We need that discernment. We need that discernment. What do? We get a thought, we get an emotion, we get something that's building up within us. It becomes so real and so true to us that we've started to align our actions with that, starting to see the evidence in our fruit of our lives of that before we even think, was that true? Because what do? We end up not liking certain behavioral patterns in our lives, right? And then we say, I don't enjoy this. I don't enjoy life. Let me get to someone that can pray for me. But what did I do to start off with? Where did I gain that information? We need to spend time in the Word. Now, it's really not, you can't wait for your emotions and wait for the Word. You have to take up the Word. And you have to let the Word read you. You know, we've often heard this when people say, you think you're reading Scripture, but actually Scripture is reading you. You end up spending time with the Bible, and then it's just this mirror that the moment you read Scripture, you're just confronted with so many things. And it's often so confronting, depending on the phase of life where you are at, that you've maybe sometimes applied yourself so hard to that it's hard to see, how do I now bring my reality to Scripture? Because it's so far apart. There's no correlation. There's no link. How do I get these two together? And Scripture says you have to leave one. You have to leave one. You can only believe one. As Spirit-filled believers, we are called to live by the Word. That means if God says His arm is not too short to save, it means His arm is not too short to save. And when my emotions and when my environment doesn't speak of that, then I confront my environment. I don't confront God. We read that actually in... Let me just finish with this first before I go on. In the Christian life, we find fact, which is the basis of what we believe. Then we get faith. And then we get feelings that's flowing from that. So it's extremely important that you get your facts according to Scripture. Don't get your fact from an emotion, because it's going to flow out. Whatever you base your facts on, it's going to flow out. Interesting, when Jesus himself, I mean, there's so many scriptures, and we can't go through all of that, otherwise we'd have to pack lunch. But when Jesus responded to Satan, what did he say? What did he say? It is written. Not even then. He was like, so to me, it can easily be said that he was hungry. I don't think Jesus walked the desert without being thirsty and without being hungry. But what did he say? He said, it's written. It's written. I'm letting the Word cut through spirit and soul. This is the discerning factor. Not what I feel or not what I think. The next thing we are going to chat through, so we have now the fact that we are a temple. We have submitted every room to God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit often. We need to live the word of God. The next one is put on the armor of God. Now, guys, of course, this is all of these are sermons on its own. Why, like I said, why this happens, like I said, it might be to help you define things that you are going through, but it might prepare you for something. So I'm going as the Lord told me. If you feel this should have been a sermon on its own, I agree with you. Okay. So the armor of God, it says, and I'm going to read through it quickly, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, it's like, because this is true, now this. So we've now heard we are God's temple. We've now heard we need to submit. We've now heard that we need to be filled. We now heard that we need to listen to the word as our basis. Now he's saying, because you are now living, you need to understand that the things that you're facing is spiritual. It's not physical. If you are battling in the physical, you are getting this the wrong way around, and I am not empowering that. Sometimes when we pray for strength and power with regards to how we discern life, we do not receive power because it's not according to God's word. He is not giving us power to do our will. He's giving us power to do his. So whenever you feel fatigued or tired out or burnt out or whatever, really stop. Because something is not right. His word says that he empowers us for every good work. And if you do not experience that empowering, Jesus is interceding for us the whole day. If you do not experience that intercession, the Holy Spirit is helping us every day. If you are not experiencing that help, something is wrong, or God is a liar. And God is not a liar. So let's be attentive to the fact that it's spiritual and we need to be awake. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Now, we are going to speak on this a bit later. Not today, some other day. I'm just going to go through it quickly. The belt of truth. The belt of truth initially was used as a symbolic to speak on how garments was being lifted up and tied by truth so that you can move. This morning, while we were standing here outside, someone's shoelaces was untied, and I said, just tie your shoelaces. I don't want you to trip on the stairs. And the belt of truth, in a similar way, actually does that. Truth helps us to not trip up. Along with truth, guys, I don't mean to be funny with this, but it's something that I felt the Holy Spirit lay on my heart. Drop sloppy religious phrases.
Hallelujah.
While I wrote this, I was seeing Louis. Drop sloppy religious phrases. Guys, if you're not living it, don't say it. There's nothing that's confusing unbelievers more than Christians saying things that they can't live. It's very confusing. Don't be in spaces where you'd rather be quiet, like me. I just stay quiet. Not when I have the mic. But here I'm very careful and I'm sticking to my notes. But those of you that were in me with conversations with people, you'll know. Belin calls me a wallflower. I do that very easily. This sounds all amazing. You know, all of these people sounds very wise. I'm not sure whether it's earthly or godly, but they sound amazing. But I don't know how much of that's true, and I know for a fact this is not the reality in my life. So, please, guys, truth. Truth from the heart. Are you guys with me? Okay. Righteousness, like I said, I'm gonna run through this a bit. Righteousness is faith in Jesus. With our heart, one believes unto righteousness, not through works. Be careful when we think about the armor that you don't think of works. We are not saved through works. We are saved through faith. The gospel of peace, boots of preparation. The shield. In Scripture, you find two shields. The one is a circular shield in the New Testament. Here specifically, they were mentioning an oval shield. This oval shield of faith was meant to cover every aspect. Every aspect of our lives. Salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now guys, we dealt with many things in Secunda. We dealt with many things in the various areas that we are in. I've never been in a space where the mental health of people are so attacked than in this area. And I'm not isolating this area. I'm just saying it happens often that we sit down with people and we find that people are going through mental challenges. Now, when I read through this, I thought, Holy Spirit, we are trusting you this morning and we're going to create a space where we pray for people for this specifically. Helmets, what are they do? What do they do? They protect your head. They protect your thought life. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, we read that we should trust in Him and do not lean on our own understanding. Now, all of this follows a pattern, of submission and of yieldedness. But we should also come and we should yield and submit our thoughts to Him. Because our mind is an instrument and someone is using it. Someone is using that instrument. And you need to be very attentive of who it is. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, we see, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, when we speak about hope, this can be another amazing thing, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to jump into Romans 8 verse 28. It says, and we now, that for those who love God, and we sang it this morning as well, and we now for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. Now listen to this. If we believe this, I want you to look at that scripture. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. If we really believe this, then pessimism is a denial of faith. If I live my life by looking at negative things and discerning and deciding my life based on things that might and should and could go wrong, I am denying the fact that God is in control and He is the one who is working everything for my good. And some of us need to repent of that. Because some of us this morning have aligned our hearts with everything that I need to control, I need to capture, I need to manipulate, I need to form, I need to shape. I do not believe that everything that you are currently in is according to His purpose and it will work together. Now, this is not something that happens overnight. It's not something that happens quickly. It's something that we actually have to be deliberate about. This is not something that happens overnight. Because if you got used to actually using external influences as your truth, and emotions as your truth from which you base your life, it's the most simple thing to say, because of life, it's going good or it's going bad based on relationships that I'm in, based on the financial situation I'm in, based on whatever thing I'm busy going through. It's not the truth, and we cannot align our hearts with that. The last one is the sword of the Spirit, and we spoke about that now in point 4, live by the word. The next one I want to touch on is a garment of praise. In Isaiah 61, we read, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor at the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Listen to me. Many cases, heaviness and weights that we are carrying is a faint spirit. It's a spirit that works fatigue in us. It's not just something that you need to drink Calcivita for. That spirit has to be addressed. Listen to what I'm saying, not to what I'm not saying. We do not believe that we do not reckon your body as part of who you are. That means that for some people, there are medical situations that they are facing. Some people need to take medication to deal with certain things that they are going through. But listen to what I'm saying. If you only recognize one, you are in a very dangerous situation because we are also spirit. And you need to acknowledge the fact that you are spirit also. We cannot just say, for every hardship I'm going through, I find my solution and my answer in one dimension. I need to discern both. And I need to allow the truth, the word of God, to cut what is true, what is from God. We need to see that. The second last, well, close to last. Cultivate right relationships. I'm going to go quickly through this. Cultivate right relationships. One of the greatest threats for arguments is for relationships are arguments. Interesting, Proverbs 17, verse 14. Look at this. The beginning of strife is letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. Those of you that recently experienced this, you'll know once you start letting out water, it's not easy to stop. Once you've engaged and applied yourself to letting out water, once you've applied yourself to strife, you know, we see that often, and I've heard that other married couples go through this. Belinda and myself don't face this. But sometimes when we have a very holy pastoral miscommunication, we end up seeing that that the conversations go a lot the similar lines. You know, certain conversations when you have them, you know. And I heard an interesting opinion this time. One guy said, next time they're going to have an argument like that, he's just going to record it, because then at a certain point in the argument, you can just play the recording, because it's gonna play out like that. Yeah, I mean, you know, this strife is not going anywhere else. This strife is doing that. And we're going to have that again. Scripture says, do not apply yourself to that. Have good relationships. When you see strife is coming to break up unity, stop with it. Just stop. Don't align yourself with that. Cultivate right fellowship. In Romans 10, verse 17, we see, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's the good part. What does that mean? It means that when we are in the wrong fellowship, faith still comes from hearing. But then it's no longer the truth. When we spend time in fellowship with people that's not speaking the truth, we are still hearing, we are still submitting, and we are still yielding, and we will still live from that space where we actually receive by faith, start responding. And if it's not through the word of Christ, it's going to bring death. Be careful of who you fellowship with. Now, I just heard as I prepared, the Lord say, just cater for the evangelists in the place. Please note that I mentioned the word fellowship and not reaching out. There's a difference. I do not reach out to unbelievers going with the intention to go fellowship. Are you with me? We don't go spend with people. And then you stand around, and sometimes it's close people. I mean, it's not only people that you don't know. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's people that's very close to us. And you end up in the same space. You have to make a distinction. Am I busy with fellowship, which means I can receive and I can take from this, and by faith I can respond? Or is the things that's being discussed now not true? And I'm not now in fellowship. I'm now loving someone the way that God loves them. Because it looks different. It's not the same. This is now the last one. Are you guys with me? Make Jesus central. Make Jesus central. You know, when we get caught up in theological debates and we get caught up in things, it's fun. It's fun to debate things. It's fun to wrestle with the words that's, you know, in one instance can go this way and another instance goes somewhere else. But the reality of it is the moment those words starts to bring division, we find ourselves in the first point that we mentioned today, and that is that we are bringing division. The moment we do that, we are in dangerous territory, because there's a very real dad that's going to say, because of your current behavior, I am protecting that one from you. Let's make Jesus central. What do we read in Scripture? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Many of the things that's confusing many people starts with, was Jesus really? Did he really? Is it really so central? Is it really so important? Now, guys, be careful. Jesus is the foundation, and from him we function. From there, we can say, listen, we are following the same one. We are not perfect. We are a family that's not perfect. We don't sing all the right notes. We don't play all the right chords. We don't end on time. We don't start on time. Not always. Sometimes. Sometimes the coffee is nice. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes the worship just draws you in, and sometimes you have to draw in the worship. I mean, it's just the way it is. We are people that's being shaped by God into this beautiful temple on which he bestowed his spirit. Let's be those people. Let's be those people that respond to him. Before we step out, thank you, Megan. I want you to think about this. I'm going to read it quickly. And I want you to be in a space where the Holy Spirit can convince. What am I busy with? Why these nine? I don't know. There's probably 30 things we can say this is what a good walk with him looks like. But these are the ones that I felt the Lord lay on my heart. The first one. Am I God's temple? Do I understand I'm God's temple? Collectively. Secondly, do I understand that I need to submit every room of my heart to God so that I am not vacant? Because he's cleaning me. He's washing me. He's restoring me. He's healing me. Do I submit every room? The third one, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Often. Am I continually? Am I maintaining being filled with him? Is it something I ask for? Is it something that I wait for gatherings and things? Do I live by the word, or do I live by my emotions? Do I put on the armor of God, and have I spent time with this? What does this look like? Do I understand that the garment of praise, like we experienced in the worship team as well, the worship team vision, a garment of praise, do I understand that praise breaks the yoke? Praise breaks spirit of heaviness. Do I cultivate right relationships? Do I cultivate right fellowship? And do I make Jesus central? I'm going to ask the team to bring out the communion elements for us. And I want you to just sit with your eyes closed. I want you to really just listen to what the Holy Spirit's laying on your heart. We're going to use it together with our children, have the children coming. So I want you to just spend a few moments and just listen. What is God laying on your heart?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.